healing is a gift to be accepted, not earned. We're going to study in God's Word now, healing is for all. We're going to begin in Psalm 86. One of the greatest barriers to the faith of many seeking healing is the uncertainty in their minds as to whether it is the will of God to heal all. Nearly everyone knows that God does heal some. We are surrounded with people that have been healed. But there is much communicated today that keeps people from knowing that what the Bible clearly teaches, and that is that healing is provided for all. It's impossible to boldly claim by faith a blessing which we are not sure God offers, because the power of God can be claimed only when the will of God is known, or where the will of God is known. Now listen to me. If it's God's will to heal only some of those who need healing, then none have any basis for faith unless a special revelation is given to them. There is no basis for faith for any of us if He only heals some. And faith must rest on the will of God alone, not on our desires or wishes. Appropriating faith is not believing that God can, but that God will. Most everyone acknowledges He can. He's the Creator. Surely He can heal. Because of not knowing it to be a redemptive privilege for all, most of us in our day, when seeking healing, add to our prayer the phrase, if thy will, if it be thy will. Maybe we don't verbalize that, but we think it in our minds. If it be thy will. And that is a doubt. Doubt ruins faith. Faith appropriates healing. God is able. God is willing. And His ability equals His willingness. God's will to heal is emphatically communicated many times and in many ways. God wants to heal all. Before we explore God's willingness and God's conditions to receive healing, we can quickly consider two doubts which do arise. And like I said, doubts are what causes our faith to falter. That first doubt is, if God's will is to heal all, why doesn't everyone get healed? That's a good question. Well, God's will is also for everybody to be saved, isn't it? We know from John 3:16 it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." We also know from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto a knowledge of the truth." God wants everybody to be saved and to have a knowledge of the truth. But is everyone saved? No. Does everyone have a knowledge of the truth? No. Well, why is that? Well, I guess a good record to examine, which you can do on your own, is in Matthew 22, verses 1 through 14. There's a parable given there about a king who had a wedding. It's a parable given about the kingdom of heaven, about a certain king who had a marriage for his son, and he sent forth his servants to bid people to come to the wedding, and the people wouldn't come. Then he sent forth other servants, and he told them to, you know, again, a second time to come, and they would not come. Then he sent his son and invited them to come to the wedding, and they killed his son. Then after that, the king, sent his servants out into the highways to gather all as many as would be found, whether they were good or bad, and he invited them to come to the wedding. And then it goes on at the end of this parable, and it sums it up by saying, "For many are called, but few are chosen." With salvation, everyone is called, but only are chosen. Some are chosen. What does that mean? Well, in this parable, who was chosen? Those who responded to the call. A lot were called, but only those who responded were the chosen. In like manner with salvation, all are called, But not all receive salvation. Who does? Those who respond, they become the chosen. So it is with healing. God wants to heal all. Well, why are there only a few then that receive the healing? It's not because it isn't available to all, but because only a few will accept. Those that accept become the chosen. So again, it's not an issue that God, whether or not God is willing to heal all. He wants to heal all. The issue is whether or not we are willing to allow him to do so. Another doubt that comes up that I want to deal with is, if God's will is to heal, why do we all die? Well, that's again another very good question. First, we must acknowledge, according to Hebrews 2:14, that the devil has the power of death. He is the killer. He's the destroyer. Because we are still earthbound and have corruptible bodies, there is a time appointed for all to die until Christ returns. When Christ returns, then that will stop for those that are born again. But in the meantime, there is a time appointed for everyone to die, it says in Ecclesiastes. When Christ returns, immortality will be a reality, and God's primary will for the believers, which is eternal life, will be realized. God's will is to heal all. God's will is to heal all. He named himself Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that healeth. This is who God is. In Psalm 86, verse 5, Psalm 86, verse 5, For thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. The issue is calling upon him. He will not violate anybody's free will. We must exercise our free will. And if we do, God is good and ready to forgive. He's plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon him. Look at Psalm 103. The availability for healing for all is a reality in the scriptures. It says in Psalm 103, verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Look at Psalm 107, verse 20. It is the will of God to heal all, and you are a part of that all. Psalm 107, verse 20, again, another verse that we've looked at. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. The reason he sent us his word, which is in front of your eyes, you're hearing it spoken to you now, was so that we might be healed. Jesus Christ in the Gospels was the express image of God. He declared the Father's will like none other. He was the expression of the Father's will in the flesh. His life was both a revelation and a manifestation of the unchanging love and the will of God. He literally acted out the will of God. So when you saw him, you saw God's word in manifestation. Jesus Christ said, I am come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. The Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. He also said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. When we look at Jesus Christ in the Gospels, we see the will of God alive in him. Jesus Christ went and healed all that came to him. Turn to Matthew chapter 4. We'll look at some of the places in the Gospels. Time doesn't permit to look at all of them, but some that will reveal to us the will of God to heal all. In Matthew chapter 4, we're just going to have the joy of reading these great verses. Matthew 4, verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. There was no sickness that he didn't heal or disease that he didn't heal. Whatever it was, he had the power over it. Verse 24, and his fame went throughout all of Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people, and that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had palsy, and he healed them. He healed them. Our Lord healed everyone that came to him. Look at Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Jesus Christ carried out God's will. He healed everyone that came to him. Matthew 9:35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Some people think that their problem is one that is not a healable problem, that there is no solution to it. Well, the Word of God says contrary. Every sickness and every disease Jesus Christ healed. All sickness, all disease, no matter what the problem was, how minute or how critical the situation was, he healed all. And he can heal you no matter what your problem is. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And when he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. There was no exception to it. All sickness and all manner of disease. Look at chapter 12. In verse 15, Matthew 12:15, and when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Not only was there a healing of all disease and all sickness, all the people that came to him were healed. No one was missed. Everyone received their deliverance. Matthew 14:14. Just reading along here in Matthew 14:14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Verse 34 through 36. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret, and when the men of the place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all the country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched him were perfectly whole. Nobody got missed. He healed all, without exception. Let's skip over to the book of Luke, chapter 6. We could keep on reading through the Gospel of Matthew and then go into the Gospel of Mark, and we would see many, many times that he healed all diseases, all sickness for all those that came to him. In Luke chapter 6, there was that stipulation, though. The people came to him for their healing. I'm sure there was many others that were sick in the time of Jesus that did not receive healing. Why not? Because they didn't come to him with that faith to receive it, as there is today. That's why some are healed and some aren't. Some come to the Lord with faith and they receive their healing. Many don't. In Luke chapter 6, verse 17, and he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all of Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coasts of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were what? Healed. They were all healed. Every one of them. Remember we read in Acts chapter 10. You can turn to Acts chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 6 there. But in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, it says very clearly, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. all with the exception, or all with distinction in that it was all those that came to him and had the faith that he could do these things, every one of them got healed. Well, what about after Christ ascended? He ascended, as it's in the latter part of the Gospels and as it is in Acts chapter 1. What happened after the ascension, the time period which we are now alive in when we're Christians? Well, it just carried on in his absence because he now lived within the believers. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John go to the temple gate. You're familiar with the record of the man that was lame from his mother's womb. And he was looking to receive alms from them. And in verse 6, then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And that's exactly what the man did. He rose up and walked. He was healed. They had the authority to bring this healing. All those that wanted it. Look at Acts chapter 5. Acts 5:12. "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And the rest trust no man join himself to them. But the people magnified them, and the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one." No one was missed. Everyone that came to them was healed. The power was not exclusive to Jesus Christ. It's the same power that was in the apostles and the disciples in the book of Acts that is alive and in us today. God's will has not changed today. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." It says in Hebrews that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The will of God is still to heal all that come to Him. Go back to the Gospel of Mark, the last chapter, Mark 16. We're going to look at Mark 16, verses 15 through 18. This is right before Jesus Christ descends. He leaves some last-minute instruction to the disciples to carry out. In Mark 16, verse 15, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. And they shall lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover." This is the instruction that Jesus Christ left to the Christian church. Was he toying with us? Was he just playing with us? Or do we really have the authority to receive and to impart healing one to another? We know from the Gospel of John in chapter 14 and verse 12, that we have the ability to heal, and we have the authority to heal others. We have the ability and the authority to be healed, and we have the ability and the authority to heal others. Well, if we have the ability to heal others, certainly we have the ability and the authority to be healed ourselves. John 14:12 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." The works that Jesus Christ did, we can do also, and greater. These works, as we have seen throughout the Gospels, are inclusive of bringing wholeness to others. We know from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that we have been given the Holy Spirit, and with that Holy Spirit, 9 manifestations of the Spirit. Well, there's one manifestation with 9 evidences of that manifestation, one of which is gifts of healing. We have this right to be healed. And this is not, you're not excluded from this. Everyone is included within it. We are all part of the all. God wants to heal us. He wants to heal each and every one of us. It is the will of God to heal all. As I began, I'd like to reiterate, if it's God's will to heal only some of those who need healing, then none have any basis for faith unless they have a special revelation that they are among the favored chosen. God is not a respecter of persons. God is not. God is a respecter of condition, the condition being faith, that we have the faith to accept God's healing in our life. Faith must rest on the will of God alone, which is stated in His Word, not on our thoughts or opinions or our desires or wishes. Appropriating faith is not believing that God can, but that God will. Anybody can believe that He can. But we have to come to the place of believing that He will. It is the will of God to heal us. Not knowing our redemptive privileges, we have often thought that it's not available for us today. Well, it is available. You can be a part of the chosen by your choice. All are called, but few are chosen. Not because God doesn't want everybody whole, but because not everyone will come to Him and accept the healing that He makes available. All we need to do is to accept it. God's will is not to heal some, but all. We can boldly approach God and accept God's gift of healing. Yes, God can, and God will heal you. You are a part of the all. All you have to do is to accept God's gift. Healing is available for you right now. It's a gift. Just take it.